the vibration was so high up there, and the space was actually to the meter. Again, I mean, the size of the foot, you know, the foundation that I needed, including access. I mean, just. And he then said to me, "Oh, even though this is the best part of the land, right up here at the top, I'm going to offer it to you because I want to see this temple built." Mm. And I was like, "What? Really?" He's like, "Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm happy. Mm. I'll have this piece just down here, mm. you know. But I want you to have the best spot." I was like,
"Welcome to episode 27 of the Flow Ninja podcast." Hi there. Thank you so much for tuning in and having a listen. My name's Jody Dean. Some people think of me as a 21st century mystic. I'm a spiritual guide, a soul awakening coach, an author, a speaker, an actor, and I love being creative as much as possible. I'm very empathic, I'm highly intuitively endowed, let's say, but I believe that we can all turn on our intuitive gifts and experience the multidimensional universe in all its many different varieties, and that's something I actually teach. So if you want to know more about any of that, if you want to activate your multidimensional magnificence, step into your full soul mission and alignment of purpose, and explore all the joy and heartfulness of reality, then just go to my website, jodydean.co, jodydean.co, and you can check out more there. Regarding this podcast, if you enjoy it, please do give it a 5-star rating on iTunes. Would really appreciate that. If it resonates with you, it does help to show this podcast to more people, and you know, help it move up in the ratings. So thank you so much again for listening, and please enjoy this episode. In this episode, I talk to my good friend and confidant, Michael Simons, who shares about his spiritual awakening journey and his realization of his true life purpose as a designer and creator and maker of these beautiful, incredible, inspiring new earth havens, healing centers, and spaces of light.
So, Michael.
Jody.
Just want to, introduce Michael to everyone. Michael Simons. And Michael, we've known each other for what, a couple of years now?
2021, I think we met on the lake.
Yeah, pretty much 2 years to the week, probably.
Yeah,
were to calculate it.
Yeah, I think I remember stopping you because of the necklace that you wear, and I was so intrigued. Started a long conversation.
Find your tribe.
There she is.
All right.
Perfect.
And that's 2 years on.
What a 2 years!
Oh my goodness. So that was in Guatemala.
Yes.
In Lake Atitlan.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so you are a designer. You are into sacred geometry, mm-hmm. into many things. Would you like to share a little bit about, present yourself a little bit? I don't think I could do you justice. I'm just like,
sure. My professional background is in the visual effects industry,
yeah,
in film and commercials, and as a senior VFX artist. So I've been working in London for 10 years and, you know, lots of films, commercials, that kind of high-end market. And
what kind of films?
I actually worked on the original Captain America.
Right.
And I worked on Great Gatsby, an Australian production with Baz Luhrmann, for those of you who aren't familiar with him. And yeah, mostly commercials, but, you know, it was always my dream at that time to be at the top as the visual effects supervisor, mm-hmm. you know, and overseeing the whole operation and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so I went to London when I was 27 from Australia and, you know, worked absolutely day and night as hard as I could to work my way up the chain again, as you do, to visual effects supervisor, and ended up supervising, you know, a handful of commercials for the Mill and MPC and all these big, you know, post-production houses. And it was quite surprising, actually, that when I got all the way to the top role, I realized straight away that wasn't at all what I wanted in life. But I had to get there. You know, I had to do it. I had to do the thing. And so it then became a process of tuning in, you know, earlier on in my kind of spiritual life, which has come in phases, you know, stages, mostly the last 2 years, but trying to figure out what it is that really inspired me, you know, and I, you know, as much as I love the technical side and the creative side of the compositing and the visual effects stuff, I knew from my heart it wasn't my life's purpose, right? And so I went on this quest, actually, for a good almost 2 years around 2017 and 18, and was fortunate enough to be able to take significant time off work, having worked so hard, and sort of dove in and started looking around, you know, externally for my purpose, basically. Didn't have any luck. So, I mean, fortuitously, one could say, lockdown happened. Again, it was a very interesting period because I had survived the first lockdown in my apartment in Dalston in eastern London. I mean, I was sick for 2 months. I had long COVID. It was a dreadful experience. But it really made me go in, right? Like most people. And many, many things started to come to the surface. You know, a lot of shadow stuff, obviously, and so on. But it made me really come into contact with my higher self without me really knowing it so much at the time. And I think because of that, my intuition somehow became really prevalent and really pronounced. And when they announced the second lockdown, it literally was the loudest voice I've ever heard, you know, from another place saying, get out now, right now, pack up your bags, get out within a month to the day, right? 30 days. And I was like, oh my God. And it was just so clear. It was no doubt. So I packed up everything. I gave my landlord notice. I drove to storage with my friend. And the night we were driving back from the storage, they were announcing on the radio, you know, when the lockdown would actually come into effect. And I was gripping the steering wheel like, oh my God, you know, I had a car ferry booked on a Wednesday. And I had everything already in storage, so I had nowhere to live. I was technically homeless, and it was a Sunday night, and I was like, oh my God, what's going to happen? And they actually announced that it had to go through Parliament and be voted on, so the earliest they could do that would be Thursday. So I literally got the last boat out of the country, and I was driving my car through the south of Spain like a bat out of hell. And the country went into lockdown 24 hours later. So, you know, my intuition was absolutely bang on.
Wow, so Spain went into lockdown as well.
It did, and actually only days after I crossed the border into Portugal.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, what can I say? It's, it's just so divine. And then I've lived the life there for 6 months. You know, we had some measures of restrictions, but actually the Portuguese were pretty easy about it, especially where we were in Lagos. I mean, in the cities, it wasn't so, you know, it was much more strict. And then I escaped to Mexico, spent 6 months there, which, you know, was another journey of kind of darker aspects of my old self and exploring that, those kinds of realms, getting involved in some very questionable circles of people, entertaining myself and others, I guess you could say. And it just really dawned on me through a whole series of events very quickly in a short and condensed period of time that actually my life was in danger. And I you know, I had to get out, really. I mean, it was getting pretty, you know, critical. There was a lot happening at that point in and around the town with motorcycle gangs and violence. And also my, you know, I'd stepped into some, you know, circles that were, you know, very, very questionable, you know, just because I was feeling lost and lonely and looking for friendship. And what it did was it ultimately took me to Guatemala, and without any expectations, I landed at the lake. And what happened there was completely unexpected and out of this world, you know.
So do you want to extrapolate a little bit about what happened for you at the lake? What was it that shifted? What was it that was so interesting?
Well, the first thing that happened was I was traveling with someone, and we had been traveling for 5 or 6 weeks together. We'd known each other for about 5 months, and so there was a very close bond there, and we were spending all our time exploring, doing activities together. We'd moved from San Pedro to San Marcos only a few weeks before. What ultimately happened was we just decided that we weren't compatible anymore as travel partners. You know, it was just it's just not happening. So I then, you know, in the space of a couple of days, moved to another house and had my own space for the first time in months, you know, mentally, spiritually, whatever. And again, you know, that was just to allow myself time and whatever to breathe and sort of, you know, dig in a bit deeper to spirituality. And I knew that San Marcos was a really fertile place to do that. But I had no plan. I had no, you know, agenda. And just by being in that space and allowing myself to go deeper without the distraction, without the attachment to somebody else and their, you know, daily routines. And I had nothing less than a full, you know, spiritual awakening, like really deeply. And part of that was going to see Isaias, who's an elder, a Mayan elder there in San Marcos, and actually sit with him and do a 2.5 hour reading of my calendar. And what was revealed to me was astonishing. But I mean, at the same time, it felt so familiar. You know, if you, when I replay the recording, which I did, I barely speak. I'm just nodding the whole time and saying yes. So, yeah, he revealed to me that my path was to be a healer, to help other men unburden themselves from whatever it is that they're carrying that's holding them back, to be a strong leader in the community as a number 13, which holds a lot of responsibility in the Mayan calendar. And, you know, a lot more was said, you know, working with the light as an Imosh as well. So, you know, very connected to the heavens and so on like that. And then as as that journey progressed, I started to receive more and more channeling of this temple, which ultimately became the Crescent, which is this project that is my life and soul project now. And yeah, it was just kind of leaning into that, surrendering fully to everything that I thought I was, and shedding all those layers one day at a time, which was, I mean, a very challenging task. Especially when you're trying to speak to family every week and they're like, what's going on? Like, I can't even tell you. It was really difficult for me to communicate. But ultimately, people like yourself were fantastic. And seeing that journey unfold, holding space for that, and we ended up doing a lot of, you know, work together, which was incredible, like, you know, to help facilitate that.
Yeah, it was a powerful time. Great work. Yeah, it was, yeah, some golden moments.
So many. Yeah.
Yeah, all supported in that, the field of that place, right? The lake and that, that holds there with the volcanic energy and the ancient Mayan traditions.
I mean, it's just fully charged, right? It's, you know, fire, water, earth, everything is just like, I mean, powerful. Powerful.
Yeah, I think everyone who's been there understands it. But it's difficult to, maybe difficult to grasp it if you haven't actually been in that place to really get, oh, right, this is what this is.
Yeah, exactly.
So in terms of like the intuitive design and channeling in that creation, what would you say precipitated that? What was the moment that it became clear to you, oh, this is going to be a temple, this is and then the structure, because it's quite easy, very unique structure and a very unique format, and for a community ownership, etc. So do you want to explain about that?
Sure. It's been quite an evolutionary process, right? So I had an idea to build a space when I was in Portugal that was, I guess you could call it, a co-working, co-living space that facilitated, you know, very healthy lifestyle, like yoga every morning. We would, you know, have a restaurant that was all organic, and we'd try and grow all our own food. And, you know, it was, you know, a beautiful setting. So like a valley in, you know, like around Lagos and stuff like that. I was actually looking at land, but what really, you know, that was really to do with trying to get people away from their lifestyles in wherever major cities they were, and just demonstrate to them that they can live a life where they're actually more productive than being anywhere else in their cubicles and so on. Live very healthy lives for a couple of weeks, do our program, and ultimately go back to where they were and, you know, say, oh my God, what are we doing in this environment? This is ridiculous. So, you know, it had nothing really to do in the sense of where we are now. The only thing that has been carried from that is some aspects of functionality. But what really happened to me on the lake was this very strong message in that period that I was kind of isolated, you know, purposefully from all the activities and so on that were going on, that my true purpose was to design and build places that facilitate transformation and healing in the world. Right. So as soon as I received that message, I was like, well, first of all, thank you. Second of all, yes, absolutely. And third, it really inspired me in many ways, because I've always loved design. I've loved architecture. I've loved just the feeling that you can have through your body when you walk into a space that's just like, oh my God, because it resonates at a frequency, right? Mm. And so I've, you know, throughout my years of traveling, really started a few places that had just had a profound impact on me. So I just knew that whatever was going to be birthed through this process was going to have that level of wow, okay, you know, something's going on here. And the more I looked into things like, you know, sacred geometry, you know, ratios, universal laws, harmonics, and all this stuff, and how that relates to frequency and space and light and matter and everything, I was just, and a lot of this was actually being, you know, channeled to me through meditation. A lot of the design elements just came through. I was just like this channel. I was sketching things out, modeling them in 3D. And I have no background as an architect, right? Mm. But, you know, everyone can see from the renderings and the models that I did over the next like year and 2 years, you know, I mean, trained architects have looked at that, and engineers, and just gone, oh my God. Wow, you know, this is really something. So it does have some aspects of what we talked about before with the work away from home kind of stuff, but that's kind of like a bolt-on, and at its very heart, you know, literally like the heart of this project is the temple space. And that is where it's like the womb space, you know, where everything magic happens, where we just hold space for transformation, healing, whatever that looks like, whether it's workshops, whether it's, you know, music, whether it's live entertainment, whether it's, you know, medicine, whatever it is, that would be the central space where it's happening. And I envisioned that quite some time ago as being just this beautiful dome structure with the flower of life as the actual, you know, dome above it, sort of casting light into the space and so on, and obviously a view of the lake. And those visions were becoming stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, and yet I still had no idea how on earth little me was gonna, you know, manifest this thing into creation. And so I had just inherited, thankfully, you know, some money from my father who passed in 2021, and, you know, thought it might be a good idea to put it into some aspects of crypto and certain coins, thinking that I could leverage it and then have the money to build this creation, because at that point it was the only way I could see it happening. So it was very much the case of like, I'll be responsible for making this happen. It's my project kind of thing, right? And then what happened, of course, was this particular coin, the only one that this has arguably ever happened to, went to zero from $110 in less than 48 hours. So all of those savings were liquidated, absolutely wiped out. And you can imagine, you know, I mean, it was, yeah, it was definitely a moment, a big rug pull.
I was there.
Yeah. And I was left literally naked in the wind, you know, with just the clothes on my back. I think I had $500 in my account. I paid for an ayahuasca ceremony the following week, luckily in advance. It'd be weirdly because my intuition said, make sure you pay for this now instead of next week. Followed that guidance. And I had to use that money to fly back to the UK, and it was literally to the pound exactly what I needed. I mean, it's just, you can't make this up. So what that did, was really force me to reimagine how this project would be birthed. And I mean, to this day, I think it's the best thing that ever happened, because it all of a sudden became a project that is owned by a community of co-visionaries, I call them. because it's not possible without them, right? Mm. Everyone owns an equal share. There's 101. This again was channeled, right, through a ceremony. 101 equal shares or you know, pieces of this puzzle, so to speak, and mm. everyone is entitled to an equal share, including myself.
Mm.
And you know, through that we're able to raise X amount to build the project, but I mean I'm sure it's going to be done in phases.
Mm-hmm.
And as a, you know, as a return on their investment, you know, it's 44% of net profits for the first 5 years and mm-hmm. then 22% for the next 100 years after that, 101 mm-hmm. years, I think, in the contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So it certainly took the burden off myself, you know, ironically, and, you know, feeling very blessed that, you know, all these events happened, a little bit less cash in the bank, but again, it is what it is and it was mm. meant to be, right? Mm. So,
yeah.
You know, it's been beautiful to see people actually showing up before we've even gotten this far. Just with a yes mm-hmm. and already start to get the ball rolling,
mm.
you know? So, you know, that's it basically. Yeah. With the land and everything just appeared.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I haven't personally seen, the land in person, but I've seen yeah. photographs and it looks like an incredible location.
Yeah. Yeah, I honestly think it has to be, I mean, arguably one of the best spots on the entire lake.
Wow.
Without a doubt. I mean, it's just mm. next level.
Views and...
I mean, 180 degree, uninterrupted wow. view, absolutely nothing. You know, I mean, wow. you can see all the way to Santiago, all the way to San Pedro, all the way to Pana on a clear day. You can see the volcano. I mean, it's absolutely... mind-blowing. mm. And again, that came through because I said yes to doing the moon course on the lake, which is, you know, a 1 month esoteric course. I mm-hmm. mean, again, the story of how that came about is you know, I arrived on the lake second time, I think it was December 28th, and dropped my bags and was looking just for a place to eat. And the only place that came to mind was, what's the Italian place? Il Giardino's.
Mm.
So I went in there and there was only one person there. The entire place was empty, except for this one other guy. So I went and sat next to him and he was like, oh, hi, how are you? He started talking to me. I said, oh, he said, oh, yeah, hi, my name's Maximilian. How are you? Blah, blah, blah. We started talking. And within a few sentences, he was like, oh, you've been here for a while. Have you done the moon course? I said, no, tell me about that. I've heard about it. He said, oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Wow. You really, really should do that. I mean, it's really profound. And I was thinking, oh, my goodness. And again, my intuition was like, this can't be an accident. There's just no way that you've come this far. There's, you know, you've come to this place. It's your first night back, the first conversation you're having, right? And this is the only person within 100 meters of you. I mean, you know.
Mm.
So it was, and it was starting the next day.
Ah.
So I was like, oh my God, okay, well, yeah.
Key point, yeah.
Right, so.
Opportunity, boom, window, boom.
Yeah, I just showed up at 8 a.m. the next day before anyone was there and waited until... you know, the lady showed up at reception. And the funny thing is, you know, when I first got there was no one there. I thought I'll come back later. I started to turn around. Someone literally just turned around from the corner as if she'd been waiting there the whole time and said, hi, can I help you? It's just like, yeah. So signed up to that and then met this lovely gentleman. I met many beautiful people on that course. Met a lovely guy called Stefan who, you know, is from Florida. We connected to, you know, he's done some real estate development and, you know, long story short, I mean, it could go on for hours, but the point is that he found, looking for himself, a piece of land and he said, look, I know you've got other places in mind actually, but you really, really, really need to come and check this out. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, yeah, but you know, what about this? I've kind of sort of, you know, halfway through an agreement, blah, blah, blah. He said, no, you really, really, really need to come and check this place out, right? Okay. So next day I had a bit of time, jumped on a boat from San Pedro back to San Marcos, and I called him up and I said, are you free? I've got a couple of hours, let's go check it out. He took me up there. And I mean, honestly, it was just an absolute fuck yes, because the vibration was so high up there, and the space was actually to the meter. Again, I mean, the size of the foot, you know, the foundation that I needed, including access. I mean, just. And he then said to me, "Oh, even though this is the best part of the land, right up here at the top, I'm going to offer it to you because I want to see this temple built." And I was like, what? Really? He's like, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm happy if I'll have this piece just down here, you know, but I want you to have the best spot. I was like, thank you.
Wow.
So we made it happen. Well, we're still making it happen, but it's, you know, it's in the process.
What is the status of the project right now?
Okay, so currently we have paid for half the land. We have an agreement with the previous owner that we would have that paid off by the 31st of December this year. So we're working towards that. Yeah. And anyone else that comes in right now is helping to facilitate the architectural drawings, engineering plans, and so on for the hardscaping, landscaping, and the foundations that we're hoping to build later this year.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
And so I guess there are people wondering, and maybe people wondering here, like, oh well, you know, okay, so like what the, you know, like could you list the benefits of what I get as a shareholder investor if I join? And then secondly, you know, how to join, how to get involved.
Okay, sure. So first of all, you're being part of a massive, incredible, beautiful, divinely channeled project, right? Let's not forget. It is very unique. It is one of a kind for now. There is plans to do second, third, fourth temples, etc. So to be part of this, you know, the first one is significant, and I'm letting everyone know that really is a huge deal, because it will help, you know, facilitate the building of the future temples.
Yeah.
Also, you know, you're as a co-visionary, you're part of that community, you know, of 101 people, all with an equal share, who have a say in the operation of the business and can vote on certain events and, you know, the management aspects of it, bringing, you know, whatever energy they would like to contribute towards the space as well.
Yeah.
And on a financial side, you know, in the contract, it states that they get a 44% return on net profits every year for 5 years. And then it's reduced to 22% after that for the next 100 years. So
only 100 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I said lifetime, but these days you never know. Yeah. So, you know, we could live to 120.
That's a phenomenal.
So it's deal, in terms of return on investment for a 10K investment, I mean, you're very likely to make that back within 2-3 years or less.
Yeah.
And the rest is a bonus, really. And again, it's helping not just, you know, the co-visionaries, and saying a big thank you for stepping up and saying, yes, I want to be part of this project, obviously. But, you know, it's, you know, there's a percentage of that profit goes back to the community, supports infrastructure, supports projects. You know, the benefits are endless, right?
I think that's so significant and important to point out that this isn't just about, you know, a group of expats getting together and you know, having a nice jolly kind of experience themselves, but this is also literally giving back to the community that's around Lake Atitlan that money revenue will go into the community, into projects, will be donated, and that is written into what this thing is about, what the Crescent is about, is that that feedback loop, that cycle coming back in, giving back in. I think I feel like that is so key, because I think a lot of people have, you know, fears about being a having a potentially negative impact.
Of course.
So I think that's really key, that you that's part of the vision and part of the project. You know, just not obviously on a frequency level, like on a vibrational level, what the light work that's happening in the Crescent is obviously going to affect massively everything around it, because that is just the law, universal law. So that's, I think that's amazing. And I wanted to just clarify, so it's like 101 shares. And so each one of those 101 shares will get a portion of the 44%.
Correct.
Net so, profits.
So it's 44% divided by 101 each year annually. For the first 5 years, just to be clear. And then, we're going to halve that, just to give people a big thank you, right? For jumping in and being part of this divine creation. And then the rest, you know, is still very good. I mean, as I said, you know, I've been doing some rough numbers, and I expect people to get that 10 grand deposit back within, you know, potentially the first year or two, you know? So
that's, I mean, that's huge in itself, just on a pure financial level. I mean, seems to me a no-brainer. That's why I've said yes to it. But everyone, of course, has to make their own decisions and follow their own guidance and intuition, in my opinion. So, but that's also one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you about this, to showcase it, really, and let people know, because I think it's such a valuable, inspiring project. I've seen it come from conception right through to now, and I'm going to see it go through to completion, and I'm just like, wow. And obviously I see that this has come out partly from the work we've done together, and, you know, the process that I've been in and you've been in, you know, we were together that year in Guatemala, and you know, my own work helping people connect with their own inner divine guidance and higher self and channel. And I saw that in real time happen with you.
Exactly.
So it's like so clear to me. And then just seeing this project being born through you and from that inspiration, and just so pure, from such a pure place. So it's been wonderful to witness.
And that's exactly where, you know, for me, thank you for that reflection, because it really is so important to me that this is all born out of a place of truth and authenticity and love and light. You know, this is why I think it's having already so much success, because there's no agenda, there's no, you know, no one person gaining. This is like, as my friend Stefan says, you know, it's a blissness deal where everyone benefits, right? It's just, it's like everyone, including the community that aren't necessarily directly involved in the project. So, you know, every stage of this project is very well considered, right? Or getting feedback from people and so on. It's a constant dialogue. I'm sharing everything as it's progressing with everyone that's invested and so on in the project. And so, yeah, it just, it means everything to me that this comes from a pure, pure place, right? It's not about money. It's nothing to do with profit. It's all about love and light and giving this world a place where people can come to receive the light that they need and then cast that light back out into the shadows in the world. So it's, yeah, it's big.
So beautiful. And So just to circle back, the temple is the first part, right?
That's, correct.
And that's the event space. Yes. Is that right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
And then you've got the restaurant, you've got what other the library, is that
yeah,
right?
So there's a library there which will just be full of all the most amazing esoteric books and studies and wisdom that you could possibly imagine. Much like Glastonbury Library, for example.
Yeah, the Library of Avalon.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Yep. Oh my God. Wow. Just wow. And then there'll be, yeah, so a restaurant. There's a ceremonial space upstairs as well, which I can imagine being used for sound healing sessions. Gong baths, yeah. or even ecstatic dance in a closed environment that's right. separate from the, you know, the temple space, because you know they all going to carry their own unique vibration,
yeah,
and it'll always be about, okay, what's the intention behind this event, this ceremony, which space would resonate with that, you know, frequency and so on. So, you know, the idea of the Crescent building itself is really more of a communal space where everyone feels at home, moving effortlessly between all the different spaces, and they can meet their day-to-day needs, right? They can work, they can relax, they can do some yoga in the yoga studio, and then they can watch a movie in the screening room and the kind of seating area, and, you know,
and go and eat amazing food,
eat
in
food,
the restaurant.
Have a live music. There'll be, you know, there's a small stage in there so they can enjoy themselves, and all the plants and food that we provide in the restaurant will be grown on site as well. So no pesticides, no chemicals, nothing, all organically grown. It's fully self-contained. The whole center is running on, you know, renewable energy that we're going to harvest from the sun. All the water's recycled and then filtered, used for the landscaping. I mean, the whole place
is permaculture design.
Permaculture,
right?
Yeah. I mean, we've spent the last 2 months designing the entire, wow, you know, landscape. It's just, and it's all actually, we've intentionally built it to be a well-functioning ecosystem. So it's not just, you know, oh, let's put some plants over here and maybe a rose garden there and a couple of fern trees. We've literally sat with a permaculture expert, and I've done a 6-week intensive, you know, 3-day-a-week permaculture course, 60 hours online, to learn about it and understand what ecology and the systems and all the stuff that goes into place. So what we have now is not just a building in a landscape, it's an ecosystem with a feedback loop that constantly sustains itself and can also provide more than what is normally available to the people in the community.
Brilliant. So it's also like a model as well,
yeah,
for future,
yeah, exactly,
and other, you know, inspiration and model.
Yeah.
Other people to see how that might work, which is also very visionary. And what excites me, and I've seen the 3D, what did you call it, the CAD designs.
Yeah,
some of them anyway. And I was really impressed with the amount of natural light that the spaces have and the greenery. I'm like, oh wow, this is so good. This is places for people.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So exciting. And funny we mentioned about the Library of Avalon, because we are actually in Glastonbury right now, having this conversation. So Glastonbury Avalon is for me a very sacred place. I find it to be the sacred heart of Britain, and a portal, if you will. And that's something else about, you know, Lake Atitlan. In Guatemala, for me, it was very much the sense of like a vortex energy, a portal, a place where magic is so possible, and it's in the field, which attracted me to that place, and many others. And, you know, we have the story of the pyramids, the this center of metaphysics school that you went to on the moon course. And there's such magic there, and this, you know, the history of that. And so there does feel like there's a significance of having this conversation here in Avalon.
100%.
Right?
Yeah, of course. of course. It is very significant. I feel that, and I know that it's part of, you know, this journey. It certainly has been my last, you know, 5 months here. I was guided here. I was, of course, arriving with no clue what that would entail or look like. And of course, I mean, yeah, it was really something. Really, really something. So I know that, you know, each of these energy centers has some gift to give. And I know that the lake is the perfect place for the crescent, like nowhere on earth. It really deeply, deeply in my heart, I know that, right? And so it is my soul mission and my soul purpose to see this center manifest fully in its divine creation. And I will commit myself, and I have, fully to that. So yeah, very excited.
Inspirational. So if people want to know more about it or get involved, become a shareholder and an investor, how can they get in contact? How can they find out more about it from you?
Yep. So there's a website that's just under development right now. Should be up in about hopefully 2-3 weeks. That is thecrescent.one.
Right.
O-N-E. There will be a contact form on there that should be able to contact me directly. If not, my email address for anyone is interested is Mike, M-I-K-E, at Mike, M-I-K-E, dash Simons, S-I-M-O-N-S dot com. I'm happy to hand out my mobile number to anyone that I speak to or meet in person. And yeah, you know, I'd like to meet the people that want to, you know, be involved. I think, you know, I really need to get some grasp on what their intentions are and so on behind the project. You know, I'm being very, I'm considering carefully, let's just say, the people that are involved because of the energy that it holds.
Absolutely. You know, I understand that. Yeah. So when you say meet people, is that like a Zoom video conversation, something like
that? It can be, preferably a face-to-face.
Face-to-face.
Right.
Okay.
In person. It's not by all means a really an interview. It's just more about, you know, intention, asking what it is that they feel they can bring to the project and why they're interested and so on, a few other things. Yeah.
Wonderful. Great. So, okay. So everyone knows that your website's coming up and the email address to get you.
Yeah.
And we'll do our best to put that underneath wherever you're finding this recording, whether it's audio or video or anywhere else. So have a look there. Whoever's watching or listening, please. And anything else, final words about the crescent or anything else in life?
Well, I just, you know, want to get it done. I've actually, you know, been forward and seen through guided meditation and so on what the end result is, and lived and breathed that incredible energy in other realms. So it's really about manifesting it in 3D. I mean, it's already done energetically speaking, and so I would really like to see whoever's, you know, ready to step up and be part of this and be a co-visionary. You know, we can't do it without you, and I really look forward to building that community, the temple, and everything else that it will hold, because it will really be something, and it will be the first of many. So very, very exciting.
It feels very much like a building block in the physical of the new earth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Grounding and anchoring in these new earth energies and frequencies. And I very much get that feeling, and I feel that resonant in my body right now. So yeah, I'm so excited for this. You know, it's great that we've had this conversation, and yeah, thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, thank you, Jody. I really appreciate all your time, your effort, your inspiration. Yeah, it's good being friends with you, and I thank you for everything that you're doing as well.
You're so welcome, Michael.
Thank you.
And for anyone out there who doesn't know me, I'm Jody Dean. My website is jodydeane, that's my name altogether, .co. So jodydeane.co. So it's Dean with an E on the end, some people forget that. And it's Jody with a Y as well, some people forget that. So if you want to know more about me, feel free to go on to my website or find me on Facebook or Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, and all the platforms. But the easiest direct way is just to go to my website and look me up and send me a message if you want any help, guidance, assistance, or anything else. So thank you so much.
Thank you,
Michael.
And thank you to all of those listening and watching us remotely. We love you, we appreciate you, and I look forward to meeting you. Blessings.
Thank you, everyone. Bless you. Take care. Bye for now.
Bye for now.